Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking Packers football as always here on a Friday morning. The Packers preseason schedule was announced yesterday. We're going to talk a lot about that. Very shortly coming up, we'll be giving away a copy of our 2013 issue of Pro Football Draft Preview. If you want to win your own copy, stay tuned. We're going to have a trivia contest. You'll see it. It's going to be posted right underneath the broadcast player. You have to respond to the post down below, not in the chat, and you can win yourself a copy of Pro Football Draft Preview today. So we're glad to be doing to that. Listen to Jamie in the chat for directions when that's coming up. And in the meantime, we're going to talk about the draft here and the preseason as well. And by the way, if you're new to Railbird Central this morning, you'll notice that we've switched to the new live stream. We have a new look to Railbird Central. Hopefully this is maybe the last time I'll be going through this. I don't want to have to say this every show. But seeing as it is our first week with kind of the new look here, if you want to participate, if you want to chat, you do have to sign up for a live stream account, but it's really easy, really, really easy because it's Facebook integrated. As long as you have a Facebook account, I mean, it takes you like literally 5 seconds to do it, and then you can join our chat as well. So feel free to do that. But in the meantime, yesterday, Packers preseason schedule announced, and let's go through this a little bit. I love the way the Packers preseason schedule is set up. I think it works out kind of this perfect way. I think there's little things about these games that really appeal to me. And you know, I mean, you could sit here and you could argue that all preseason games are worthless, and maybe you might have a point, but as long as they have to play them, I can find the silver linings here. I don't think all preseason games are worthless. I think there should just be fewer of them. Like, you know, there's four right now, and people will argue that the price of a preseason ticket, which is the same as a regular season ticket, at least that's the way it works for the Packers. I don't know if it works that way everywhere in the NFL. But I can understand that people are getting a lesser quality product for the same price, and totally understand that. And you know, I think that's bogus as well. But anyway, you know, I do think there is a purpose to preseason games. I wish there would just be two of them, perhaps. I think that would be a perfect little, start to the season. You do need those little bit of tune-ups before the games are for real. And that would make them a whole lot more interesting, I think, as well. But as it stands, the Arizona Cardinals is the Packers preseason opener. It's their home opener. We don't know exact dates for any of these games yet. Well, you do for week 3, Seattle Seahawks. That game's going to be nationally televised on CBS. It's already been determined. That's the only game with a precise date set already, but the rest, the Packers, I assume they'll be announcing shortly. They'll probably, talk to the opponents, with week 1, they'll probably talk to the Cardinals and figure out when is the best date. We have a little bit of a window here, the 8th through the 12th, to get this game in. When should we do it? And you know, I think any game is appropriate for an opener. There's nothing really that stands out to me about the Arizona Cardinals. They're kind of a poor team last year. Started out hot. Packers actually played them in the regular season last year, and then they faded down the stretch. So, you know, as far as playing a good team, they don't really fall into that category. Of course, anything can happen, though, between now and when the season actually unfolds. Who knows? Maybe they grow by leaps and bounds this year under a new head coach. But anyway, you know, just getting the season underway, you're so pumped up about the whole season itself. You just want to see the Packers out there competing in a game environment, and that's what that does for the season opener. We don't know what games are going to be the green ticket package and the gold ticket package yet either. Kind of interesting that the Packers have yet to determine that. I think it's always been the gold ticket package holders who have been the first preseason game. I think that's usually the way it's worked. So with the Arizona Cardinals game, previous years, it would be the Milwaukee season ticket package holders. So, it's interesting that the Packers haven't, you know, determined that already. I don't know why they would be waiting on something like that. They know who the opponent's going to be. The number of tickets between Milwaukee and Green Bay season ticket holders, the green and gold package holders, doesn't change. So I don't really know why they're holding off on that. But anyway, for whatever reason, they're holding off on that. I assume it won't be long until they make those determinations. Maybe it's just a simple fact that they want to create more news. You know, a couple days, weeks down the road, they'll determine this and they'll have another press release and they'll just get more more news time, more press time, more broadcast time for the TV stations and radio stations, and more space in the newspapers and the internet. So, after week one of the preseason, they open with the Cardinals somewhere between August 8 and 12. Then they go on the road for the first road preseason game. This year, the first road game is at the St. Louis Rams, another NFC West opponent. Again, not a precise date yet. We know it's going to happen sometime between August 15th and 19th, but we don't know when yet. And with all these games with imprecise dates so far or to be determined, these are all going to be broadcast locally. The Packers television network, I'm not even sure what they call it, their statewide network that really goes beyond the boundaries of the state of Wisconsin. They actually have affiliates, all over in Minnesota, in Upper Michigan, in Iowa. They even have affiliates in Nebraska and Hawaii. I'm not exactly sure why Nebraska. Hawaii, I know they have a player from Hawaii, Alex Green, who played out there, and I think that's why they actually carry Packers games out there in Hawaii, if you can believe that. But I'm not sure why Nebraska. Maybe they just let more, there's no pro team in the Midwest or in Nebraska, and maybe that's why they go out there. Oh, I can see the trivia question has been posted, and of course this is only available to those of you who are listening to the live version of the show that takes place Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Unfortunately, those of you listening to the broadcast version, there's no trivia question for you. But those who are, I can see it's been posted on our live stream. So the first one to answer down below the post, you will win a free copy of the 2013 Pro Football Draft Preview. So have at it. Figure it out. Getting back to our preseason analysis, the Packers, their first road preseason game at the St. Louis Rams. A game here against Sam Bradford and the Rams, and they under Jeff Fisher now. We'll see how they do. Again, a team that wasn't really all that good last season. In fact, now they don't have Steven Jackson anymore there. So it's hard to say how the Rams are going to do this year, but anyway. Here's where I think the preseason schedule actually gets interesting, is it's starting in week three with the Seattle Seahawks. The Packers come back home, and again, this is the only one with a precise date, a determined date, August 23rd, 7 p.m. local time, Central Time, televised on CBS throughout the nation, so you can see this game anywhere. Because, you know, first of all, it's interesting because the third preseason game is when starters play the most, traditionally. And there's, you know, it's that tradition hasn't been broken in a long time, so I'm pretty confident it's going to stay like that. The third preseason game, the starters usually play into the second half. They, you know, they go into the locker room and they prepare as if they're playing the second half, and they come out in the third quarter, and, you know, sometimes you don't know quite when they're going to come out of the game. Is it going to be the third quarter? Is it going to be the fourth quarter? But anyway, you get to see the, you know, the team that's going to take the field in the regular season, you know, the players who are going to play the most. You get to see them for a long time in that third preseason game. And coming against a team with the Seattle Seahawks, first of all, the Packers don't play the Seahawks during the regular season this year. Because the opponents already have been determined, although the dates haven't yet. Regular season schedule comes out Tuesday, April 16th, if I remember. But seeing as they don't play them, this is going to be hailed as the rematch from last season's Fail Mary game. If you're a Packers fan, I don't need to remind you of this, that the game that the Packers lost in Seattle last year on the last play from scrimmage, right? The Hail Mary bomb from Russell Wilson to Golden Tate, in which Packers safety MD Jennings actually intercepted it, but was not ruled that way. This is the day the Packers can get their revenge. They can take it out on the Seattle Seahawks if they want to in this game. And, you know, that last year the game was in Seattle. This year the game is in Green Bay. You can bet there will be a little bit more attention on that game than the typical preseason game, just because of the circumstances and the Packers, you know, trying to make amends for last year's loss. But you know, On top of that, you know, it's also a situation where the Seattle is one of the best teams in the NFC, I think. Well, I mean, obviously they made the playoffs last year. They didn't go to the Super Bowl, but they were a playoff team last year. And, you know, if there's one team I think did improve during the offseason, it's not always the most prudent to be going out there and spending a ton of cash in free agency. But I do believe the Seahawks actually became better this offseason by trading for former Vikings wide receiver Percy Harvin. On top of that, they were active in free agency. They went out and signed former Detroit Lions defensive lineman Cliff Averill and also former Buccaneers pass rusher Michael Bennett. So the Seahawks did all that to add to a talent base that was, you know, already very good, a good secondary out there with Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas and company, Brandon Browner. You know, I really do like the Seahawks and think they're going to be a tough team this year. So I think, you know, it's as close as you can get in the preseason to a regular season game. It's going to be that type of environment. It's going to be as close as you can get, and it'll be two teams from the postseason last year, two playoffs teams going against one another, kind of with the added value of the backdrop of the Fail Mary game behind it. So there should be some tempers flaring that game, perhaps a little bit. Guys motivated to go out and play well on both teams. So this really could be the best preseason game you've ever watched. Maybe. Not guaranteeing it, but if there ever was one, this one will be it against the Seattle Seahawks, week 3, August 23rd. Mark that one down on your calendar because it's the one firm date. And then You go to week four of the preseason against the Kansas City Chiefs. The week four of the preseason is always kind of the biggest letdown because, I mean, usually the starters play, but they usually don't play long. I mean, it can literally be one series and they're out of the game. You know, like quarterback Aaron Rodgers, he'll play one series and he'll sit the rest of the game. And I can't blame him for doing it. And that's another reason why I think maybe if you go to just two preseason games, maybe in that second one, the starters would play a little longer if there were only two of them. But anyway, it's always a little bit of a letdown for whatever reason. You know, the Packers used to play, who was it, the Tennessee Titans every year, the last preseason game. It kind of had become a tradition that and that it was always those two, and it was always kind of a lame game. And then they made a switch in these past few years now. It's been the Kansas City Chiefs. But, you know, the one thing interesting, though, is it's the Kansas City Chiefs under new general manager John Dorsey. So I think, you know, the storylines leading up to that, you get to see what John Dorsey is doing with the Kansas City Chiefs, the former Packers front office executive, former head of college scouting, I believe was his title. You know, you get to see what's happening in there in Kansas City, and they've gone out and made a couple moves this off season, placing the franchise tag on Brandon Albert, going out and trading there for their quarterback, for Alex Smith from the 49ers. So they've been very active, and they have, of course, the very first pick in the NFL draft. A lot of people think they're going to take an offensive tackle. We'll see what they do. But I, you know, for those reasons, I do like it. You know, that the game against the Chiefs, just because it, you know, the interestingness, is that a word, with what's happening there under John Dorsey, and of course now a former Packers assistant being the head coach, Andy Reid, out there in Kansas City. Although it's been a long time since he's been in Green Bay, but because of all these connections, I think it'll be pretty cool. Hey, the Kansas City Chiefs just signing Frank Zombo, by the way, just in the past day or two. Frank Zombo officially leaving the Packers. He was, as you remember, supposed to be a restricted free agent. The Packers didn't offer him a tender, so he became basically a street free agent, unrestricted, could go anywhere he wants. A situation that, you know, basically the same as tight end Tom Crabtree. Packers didn't tender him. He goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Packers didn't tender Frank Zombo. He goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. So he'll be joining them, leaving the Packers with, you know, perhaps one of their positions with the least depth at outside linebacker. The Packers lose Eric Walden free agency. They lose Frank Zombo to free agency. The only guys at outside linebacker with a roster of 90 are currently Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, who's coming off injury, and Desmond Moses. Those are the only guys with experience, at least, at outside linebacker. So the Packers definitely, during the NFL draft, have to at least add some depth to that position. Not saying they got to go out and spend a first rounder on an outside linebacker. It actually, I wouldn't suggest that they do that, actually, but they do have to add some depth there in the middle rounds, things like that. Interesting how that all played out. Thanks for everybody participating in our trivia contest today. If you have not yet gotten your copy of Pro Football Draft Preview, by all means, it is still available in the Cheesehead TV shop. If you just scroll to the top of the page where you see where it says shop up there, just click on that. It's still available. We still got, you know, 3 weeks here until the draft, just under 3 weeks. Plenty of time for you to get your copy. It's $6.99. We feel that that is a pretty good deal for what you're getting. Over 100 pages of draft analysis specifically catered to Green Bay Packers fans. You'll find out our prospects are analyzed for how they fit into a 3-4 defensive system. You don't really see that with any other draft guides out there. Well, you might, but I mean, not all of them do that way. So I do think it is, we are unique in that regard. And you know, that's something you're not going to find a whole lot of other places. So I say this a lot of times, for about the same price as an extra value meal at McDonald's, go and save yourself just for one day. Don't go out and get the extra value meal. Save yourself the money. Go buy our draft guide, and you'll be doing yourself a favor as well from a health standpoint, in that you won't be eating McDonald's. And two, you'll be becoming a more knowledgeable draft Nick, draft expert, as we are now less than 3 weeks away. So getting ready for the end of April's big event. And as I was saying here, you know, with the outside linebacker position, that's got to be somewhere I think the Packers address. And maybe I'll throw this out on the live blog. You know, when should the Packers take an outside linebacker? Just because they don't have a whole lot of positions there, don't have a whole lot of players at that position, I should say. And you know, when should they do that? When should they go out and get an outside linebacker, even though Nick Perry is kind of an injury question mark? As you remember, he ended last year on injured reserve, had the broken wrist, I believe it was. And you know, he went on injured reserve after what, 5 games or something. And that's kind of disappointing when your first round draft choice goes on injured reserve. But you know, so the Packers, you know, there's kind of that question there at that position. I don't think, you know, they should spend a first rounder on an outside linebacker. I think that would be a waste, even if there's a good guy available. Even if you think the best outside linebacker in the entire draft is available, I think the Packers have to take a pass, just because they've got Nick Perry, and you got to see what he's got. You got to put all your eggs in one basket with him. On the live blog, John says, it kind of depends on what they do with the best player available. Kevin Lamb says 4th or 5th round, as to when the Packers should actually take an outside linebacker. And I, you know, I'm just saying they shouldn't do it perhaps in the first round. Maybe if a guy comes around in the second that you really like, really love, maybe you do it then. I perhaps maybe even might wait one round later than that, the 3rd or later, to grab one, just because there's so many other places the Packers could get help in the first round or two. You know, they need help at safety. There's an immediate opening at safety where they could get a rookie that comes in and starts right away. They could get, you know, there's a lot of places they need help. We've talked about this before, but it really frustrates me what the Packers have done with their inside linebackers, because I don't think any of them are really that great on the roster, but they've invested so much into their inside linebackers from a money perspective and a numbers perspective. You know, there's 7 inside linebackers currently on the roster, and they have so much money invested into them. They have Desmond Bishop under contract. He signed a big contract just a couple years ago. They just restructured A.J. Hawk's contract, basically ensuring that he would be around this season. They just re-signed Brad Jones in the offseason. So they've made these commitments to the inside linebackers that, you know, that seem to me, I'm not sure why they're doing it.
it really wouldn't depend to me. All if I saw Brad Jones leaving free agency, I mean, all things being equal, I would like to see him back. But at the price they paid for him, is he really worth it? I don't know. But perhaps they are really, they could be really scared about what happened to Desmond Bishop. And this thing is kind of flying under the radar here. I don't know if Desmond Bishop is going to be the same player. That's a really scary one, actually. You just kind of assume because it happened so early last year. It happened in game one of the preseason, actually, as we just talked about the preseason here earlier in the show, that you think, okay, Desmond Bishop, he's had a lot of time to rest and recover. But you know, that hamstring injury where he tore it, that's a tough one to come back from. That's a tough one to come back from. You know, one of the reasons the Packers may have invested into Brad Jones is because they perhaps know Desmond Bishop is not going to come back right away. Again, my speculation. Or if he does come back, he's not going to be the same player he once was. So, you know, that's scary. And as John points out here in the live blog, same with DJ Smith. And that could be the case. It might catch people by surprise a little bit when they see how slowly Desmond Bishop comes back from this injury, or the caliber of player he is once he does come back. Which is a shame, because I do think Desmond Bishop is the best inside linebacker on the Packers roster when healthy. Or, you know, he once was the Packers' best inside linebacker on the roster. So, Ted the Sledge on the live blog says, I thought the Jones deal was a little high too. Maybe like Papinga, Jones is the vet penciled in as a starter in camp that the young guys have to beat out in competition. And the one, speaking of young guys, the one guy flying under the radar, I think, here, who could play a bigger role this season is Terrell Manning. Kevin Lamb on the lab blog reading my mind. Hope Manning has a good camp. The Packers, you know, they traded up for Terrell Manning last year in the NFL draft. That's how highly they thought of Terrell Manning. They traded up to get him, thinking that the next time they come around, he's not going to be around anymore. He's not going to be available. So they grab, you know, they trade up to grab him. And it's unfortunate, of course. He was dealing with, you know, once again, what did they call it? Colitis, I believe. Some sort of rare intestinal disease, I think it is. But he fights through it and, you know, eventually carves out a role on special teams. He actually, lost like nearly 20 pounds, maybe not that much, but he lost a bunch. And so he fights through it, and actually towards the end of the year, becomes a pretty good player on the Packers special teams. But I do think that he's a guy to keep an eye on, just because the Packers thought so highly of him. If their personnel department, their scouting department, is any good at all, they must know something about him, about this guy that made them value him so highly, so much. So he could be a guy that steps in and really does surprise and maybe is a really good player. And maybe DJ Smith comes back as well and does good too. Again, he's coming off an injury, a torn ACL. That it'll be hard to say how well he comes back, how soon he comes back. So definitely a position there at inside linebacker with a lot of question marks, So, I think that could catch people by surprise when, you know, training camp opens and they're perhaps maybe not seeing Desmond Bishop out there. They're not seeing DJ Smith out there. And then you think, oh, now I kind of see why they re-signed Brad Jones, even though there's a lot of question marks there. So
We'll see. We can only wait and see. That's our only choice. But it's now 9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday morning here, folks. I really appreciate you doing that. Again, if you have not gotten your copy of Pro Football Draft Preview already, please do so. It's only $6.99. We really think it's a value. Over 100 pages of draft analysis comes to you. You can read it on your laptop, on your PC, on your desktop, on your iPad, on your tablet, whatever your tablet might be, a Kindle, on your iPhone. So you can read it in all those ways. So make sure to grab your Pro Football Draft Previews. We're just now less than 3 weeks away to April's big event. But that's all for this Friday morning, folks. We'll see you again Monday morning. So make sure to check in then, as we every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Railbird Central is when our episodes are. But on behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. I leave you today, folks, with a song called Golden Ghost by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go.